Today I'm in a unique US West Coast city. It seems you can experience many different American holidays if you stay around San Diego. In under 2 hours, you can be in the mountains, in forests, on dry, arid desert, basking on Baywatch quality beaches, or even sipping tequila in Tijuana. For the best of San Diego, you need to discover its distinctive suburbs and districts.
It's a little big city. It really has pockets of charm.
Now, the city center, the downtown area, is very much on the tourist trail. The Gaslight Quarter District's okay. It's where the big bars and the chain restaurants are. If Americans do stag and hen do's, I think it's probably where they'd head. Similarly, the Old Town is a reconstruction of the original 1820s San Diego. It probably works for the short cruise ship shore excursions, but I wanted to experience the city that locals love. My first stop is 3 miles, or a 10-minute drive, from the downtown.
September 2012, Forbes magazine rated North Park as the 13th hippest neighborhood in the United States.
This is North Park. It's a low-rise, part residential suburb filled with unique boutiques, vintage clothes stores, and craft breweries. Cindy Matherly owns Geography. It's a travel-inspired boutique filled with upcycled, handmade home decorations and gifts.
North Park is really an eclectic, wonderful neighborhood full of artists.
You know you've arrived in North Park. The suburb is announced on a massive 1950s-style sign standing high above the central reservation on the main street. Even the utility junction boxes have been brightly decorated with paintings of Caribbean seascapes or sharks. There's street art on the walls at the end of blocks too.
It's gotten really cool.
This community was laid out in the Edwardian era, and fans of architecture might be interested in touring the suburb streets to see the 1930s arts and crafts style homes or wood shingle California bungalows with their enclosed porches. North Park has been revitalized. 25 years ago, no tourist would have ventured in.
I bought my house here in 93, and when I first bought it, everybody I knew said, "Why are you buying in that neighborhood?" Because the neighborhood was real sketchy. We used to have one restaurant. Now there's all these different nationalities. We're like known as the beer capital of San Diego. Lots of breweries, lots of pizza places.
There's loads of great food choices.
And they're not just chains. They're small mom and pop restaurants that just put their heart and souls into the meal. And you taste the love, you know, here in North Park.
I had one of the best pizzas I've ever eaten in North Park. I really like the quirkiness of the area. Now here's a cool place, a rock and roll themed cafe, the Classic Rock Sandwich Shop. Former English teacher Cheryl D'Agostaro's passionate about what Americans term the British Invasion. That's the chart dominance of UK bands like the Stones and the Beatles in the late 60s and early 70s. So she's filled her walls with memorabilia, and her menu is filled with artist names.
Manfred Mann, Jerry and the Pacemakers, David Bowie. All of them are represented on my walls. So, and I always tell people, if there is a photo on the wall, they either have a sandwich named after them or it's coming.
Cheryl has 75 rock-themed sandwiches.
Beatlemaniac is our number one seller. Harris in Heaven is up there. And then we also have the Ringo Wrap.
Hey, you guys.
Staying with food, as you might expect, there's lots of Mexican on offer in the city. You're just 18 miles from Tijuana, across the border. Now, I have been disappointed by Mexican food in the States before. The heat and spice gets toned down for the US palate. San Diego, however, seems obsessed with tacos and has fierce competition. The internet's full of top 10 local taco lists. You could spend your entire holiday reading reviews. There's high-end places selling the filled corn or wheat tortillas for $15 or more, and you can get just as good at a third of the price from a food cart. I headed to the seaside suburb of Ocean Beach. I had a delicious spicy shrimp taco packed with seafood, cheese, avocado for $5.60. Mike's Tacos is just a tiny brick building, basically a kitchen with a street-side patio hemmed in by a wooden fence. Don't judge a book by its cover. You couldn't get better value for money. Across the way from Mike's, there's a surfing beach dominated by a very long, rather unattractive concrete pier. The main drag runs at right angles from the seafront. Some of Ocean Beach's shops are filled with seaside tat, and there's plenty of cheap bars, but also some hippie hangouts. There's a hostel with a stained glass, multicoloured CND logo on the roof and exterior walls which look like they've been tie-dyed. I liked Ho Dad's. It's a small brick burger bar decorated entirely with car stickers. If you drive south from there for 20 minutes, you'll end up on a long, thin peninsula which juts out into the sea. Cabrillo National Monument's a public park and one of the city's most visited places. The headland acts as a long arm protecting San Diego's horseshoe-shaped harbour from the ocean. It's 400 feet up, so there's good views.
You can see mountains to the north that are over 100 miles away.
On your right is the Pacific. To your left, you can look down towards the city and the U.S. Naval base. It's a busy station, and throughout my stay, helicopters buzzed around overhead in the distance.
Beginning in the late 1700s, a variety of military and community people started to figure out this was a key location. If you can station a gun or a fort at the entrance of the harbor, you can essentially control what goes in and out of that harbor. Late 1700s, we started to see military installations here. That continued through World War I and II, and even today, that we are surrounded by Navy, by U.S. Coast Guard. Those are our most immediate partners.
The Cabrillo National Monument is named after a navigator who came either from Spain or Portugal. Nobody's really sure. Andrea Compton's from the park.
The first European explorer to encounter the California, the western part of North America.
Just a few hundred yards from the visitor center on a plateau is a short, squat, cream-painted lighthouse and keeper's cottage.
Come on, Lance.
So the lighthouse was built in the mid-1800s. The lighthouse itself actually only worked for about 40 years. If you stay at the park very long at all, you find out that it's often in the fog up here. So they built a new lighthouse down closer to the entrance of the harbor.
Be careful, it's going to be scary.
There are tide pools below the headland, and I was fascinated to learn that the wildlife is different on either side of the 600-meter-wide point.
We actually have different species on our west side facing the ocean than we do on the east side facing the bay side.
Across the bay, I can see a beach-fronted island, which will be my next suburb to stop in. You reach Coronado by driving across a two-mile-long bridge. Head to the seafront for one of the must-see sites in San Diego, the Hotel Del Coronado. It's huge. A 680-room, seven-floored white wooden structure with red roofs and a number of turrets and towers capped in red. The hotel was once a record breaker when it opened in 1888. It was the largest resort in the world. Hollywood stars who've been here include Clark Gable and Marilyn Monroe. The hotel was actually featured in her film, Some Like It Hot. Edward, Prince of Wales, was said to have met Wallace Simpson at a function here.
Frank L. Baum, who wrote The Wizard of Oz, he did a couple of his books there. It's just an enormous, beautiful, beautiful hotel. And I think the Coronado Beach is by far the most beautiful beach that we have out of all of the beaches. It's really, really long and wide and white sand and just gorgeous.
The Travel Channel reckons this beach is the fifth best in America. The suburb of Coronado is very expensive and elite. It's filled with multi-million dollar mansions. 30 minutes north is another posh area, the swanky seaside suburb of La Jolla. Big homes and high-end apartments line the road that winds for 7 miles at the top of the beaches, coves and rocky foreshore. And I found one street where nearly every business was fitness-related. There were at least a dozen gyms and posh workout spaces offering everything from yoga, Pilates to kickboxing. I guess you need that Baywatch body for the beach. If you head to the seafront, you can see sea lions and seals basking on the rocks in the coves. See them, hear them, and smell them from the clifftop, a few hundred feet away. There's more amazing sights of nature to see in San Diego. We're going to the world-famous zoo next.
Great Destinations Radio Show.
Today from San Diego in Southern California. The city has around 1.5 million people living at the side of the Pacific Ocean. It's a diverse, inclusive, warm and welcoming place to visit. Cheryl puts that down to the fact that the city receives an average of almost 3,000 hours of sunshine every year.
Sun really helps change people's temperament. I think when you're dealing with weather, it tends to put people in a less than joyful mood.
It's true that everybody I met was really happy and welcoming.
That's one of the things I noticed first in San Diego was like, wow, everybody's really happy here in North Park. What's going on? You know, they're on some kind of happy pill. But I realized the sunshine and just the people themselves are just very warm and very friendly.
With San Diegans being so hospitable, you might be surprised that some locals said, I should leave the country. Art gallery director Ginger Pacello says you should make the short trip to Mexico to experience the cultural differences on the other side of that wall. And if you want to avoid massive queues, she has a suggestion.
Park at the border on the American side and then walk across. Once you cross the border, there's a lot of really walkable spots, restaurants and galleries. And then to walk back across the border, it's not that long. I mean, it can be up to 2 hours. It depends on the time of day that you go. If you're going in the middle of the day on a weekday, it's really not that bad. The weekends might be a little busier.
Ginger works at the San Diego Art Institute and says there's a strong Mexican influence in the art she displays.
Barrio Logan, of course, is a really great neighborhood for emerging artists, specifically Chicano art. So Chicano art is art by largely Mexican-American artists from this specific region, and there's a space there, Chicano Park murals. You'll know you're there. It's a really vibrant, colorful area. They have a lot of art walks in that area with the different galleries and spaces that are popping up. There's lots of artist studios there, so it's a fun place to check out, and great food, great Mexican food.
Ginger's gallery is one of many attractions in the city's expansive green heart, Balboa Park. It's 1,200 acres of planned green space with mature trees and towering palms. Specialist botanic areas include a desert garden, a Japanese friendship garden, lily ponds. There's beautiful flower beds spilling Californian color all over the walkways.
Balboa Park is massive. It's bigger than Central Park in New York City. Just go for a walk or picnic in the park.
A pedestrianized boulevard runs from a central piazza past water features and fountains. You can stroll in the shade through open-sided arcades formed by arches under the beautiful stone buildings. At the heart of the park are many imposing and grand buildings, which the early 20th century architects designed in the Spanish colonial style. The tallest is the 200-foot tower at the Museum of Man. It plays chimes every 15 minutes. Next door, you'll find a beautiful museum building crowned with an ornate blue and gold dome. This quarter gives San Diego the appearance of a grand European capital. You can walk around the park, but if you're wilting in the California sunshine, you could ride the miniature railway. Or there's a free circular tram tour or a trolley bus. Or take a less well-known mode of transport, electroquettes. They were introduced in 1915. They're two-person, battery-powered, wicker cars. There's many attractions in the park. At certain times, the world's largest outdoor organ is played.
There's 17 different museums.
If you love cars, photographic arts, model railways, Spanish art or science, you'll find a museum here, and they're all within walking distance of each other.
There's an IMAX, there's a space museum. Pretty much whatever your interest is, there's something for you.
Check those in a second right here. We just start everyone in right in here, you guys.
The biggest attraction for most visitors, though, is the world-famous San Diego Zoo. This 100-acre facility is home to 650 species and subspecies and around 3,000 animals. Rick Schwartz is ambassador. I asked him which of the animals seem to interest visitors the most.
I'd have to say it's kind of a tie between like the big cats, the primates, and the pandas.
The zoo also has over 700,000 species of plant and an impressive orchid collection. They offer botanic walks. The gardens are well established, having been founded over a century ago because of San Diego's sea trade.
We had access to captains who could barter and trade for plant life. We like to house our animals with sort of the flora and fauna that you would find them in the wild, so we have those plants from all over the world as well. So yeah, it's not in the name, but as you walk around the zoo, keep your eyes open. When you're at the koalas, you'll see plants that you would only see in Australia or here at the San Diego Zoo. Or if you're at gorillas, you'll see a lot of African foliage as well.
As we were chatting, Rick was upstaged by one of the birds behind.
I don't know if your listeners can hear, that's a crested screamer that's in with our flamingos. They are quite the characters. It's a nice loud morning call they do every morning to kind of let everyone know they're here.
Our first bus is on the way. It should be here in just several minutes or so.
A great way to see San Diego Zoo is to take the narrated bus tour. It lasts about 35 minutes. You see a lot because the bus is open-sided.
How's everyone doing this morning? The early bird catches a great view of the animals.
The zoo is quite spread out, and its area includes paths through valleys and canyons. It can be quite disorientating, so Rick suggests visiting the website first and then deciding what you want to do before you get there.
So go to that website, plan your day, show up at opening, wear those comfortable shoes, and even if it's overcast, wear your sunscreen. People don't realize how easy it is to get sunburned here in San Diego.
And on that happy note, folks, I hope that I have given you a better understanding of what makes us world famous and how we are leading the fight to save endangered species all over the world.
Need another great reason to visit? San Diego's famous for its craft breweries. Tori Gustav is sales manager for North Park-based Mike Hess Brewery.
It's pretty much Beer Town USA, really. We have, I think, the most production breweries, and I think probably some of the highest quality stuff coming out of San Diego.
It's easy getting between the North Park breweries if you want to go on your own craft beer tasting trip.
Us, Thorn Street, Fall Brewing, Poorhouse, a couple others right here in North Park, which is a pretty small proximity.
Now, when you think of San Diego, you might think of it as a city break destination, but many Americans come here purely for sunbathing and beach activities. A good base is the seaside suburb of Mission Bay, with its laid-back surf town feel.
It has that sort of cool surfer vibe.
Mission Bay is built around a saltwater lagoon. There's a huge aquatic park covering 17 square kilometers. It includes the world-famous SeaWorld. You can golf, there's a roller coaster, or you can ride the waves with a surfboard. This is California. It's a resort area, but Mission Bay is closely connected to the city and all of its amenities.
You're only about 10 minutes from the city center of San Diego, 10 minutes from the airport.
Stephanie Chavez's company operates two resort properties which back on to Mission Bay, the Bahia Resort Hotel, where I stayed, and the Catamaran Hotel.
They're both beachfront, beautiful properties, extremely family-friendly. You can go paddleboarding, you can go kayaking, you can take a bike and go around the bay, take out sailboats.
The two hotel properties on either side of the lagoon are linked by a two-story Mississippi-style paddleboat, which ferries people across.
And it's complimentary for guests.
The Catamaran Resort has a bit of a South Pacific feel going on.
So right when you walk in, you'll experience a 14-foot waterfall. And as you walk around the property, you'll experience tiki torches and palm trees, tropical plants, koi ponds, and we even have some talking parrots.
What's a pirate say? Arr! Arr, that's right, that's a good pirate.
Cornell could get on Britain's Got Talent with his impressions.
What does a duck say?
You can find out more at evanshotels.com. If your holidays are a headache because everybody in your party has different interests, I think San Diego could provide the solution that pleases everybody. Its diverse communities offer everything you need, from culture to kayaking, craft beers to polar bears, and plenty of sand and warm sunshine.
You have such a good feeling once you get here. The sun is out, the weather is nice, and people are super friendly, food is good, and it's just the great San Diego life.
A number of major airlines offer daily non-stop flights from London Heathrow to San Diego for £360 one way. The flight takes just over 11 hours.
The Great Destinations Radio Show.